away from 120 to 134. And, you know, David penned four of them, one from Solomon, and I think there's 10 that's anonymous, but we know the Holy Spirit was behind it all. But three times a year, in these 15 psalms that we're going to look at, and we're only going to cover about maybe 10, but the fact of the matter is, as we look at them, it's important that three times a year, the children of Israel and their families, they would leave home and they would go up, or they would, the ascent, get it? They would go up to Jerusalem for the annual feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So on their way up, they ascended, and as they did, they would sing these songs. So it's like a hymn book for traveling, if you will, to these feasts. So tonight, but we want to apply this to our own lives. I've entitled tonight's sermon, On Our Way Home. Say that with me. On Our Way Home, beginning in Psalm 120, it says, a song of ascents. Now, before we get into this, listen carefully. We know that we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. Amen? Heaven, we are citizens of heaven. This place, this world, we are not of this world. We're citizens of heaven, and one day we're going to be living there. Amen? Now, with all that being said, as we travel through this life, we're all traveling, no matter how old you are in the Lord, we are all on our way home. Amen? All of us, to our homeland. So just like they're doing here, the song of the ascent, step by step, going up to Jerusalem, or we're going up to the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen? So we are this progression in our life. God is taking us from glory to glory to glory. Thank God for that, and producing in us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ-likeness in our life, into that same image. So as we look at Psalm 120 tonight, on our way home, it starts like this. The psalmist says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. He heard me. Thank God. You know, when we pray, God hears. Amen. He says, oh, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? They're on their way to Jerusalem. They're on the way to worship the Lord, and that is a great prayer. Rescue me from people that are deceivers. Rescue me from people that are from liars. And you know what? We all have been lied to. Amen? And so here he says, Lord, he just says, deliver this distress. I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to leave it with the Lord. And you know why he does that? Because he is absolutely certain that God is going to do something about his distress, and so should we be as well. The Bible tells us that vengeance is not ours. It's vengeance belongs to the Lord. Amen? So look what he does. He says, what shall be given to you? He's talking to those liars. He says, oh, what shall be done to you, you false tongue? And he says, oh, sharp arrows of the warrior, or literally the mighty one, okay? With coals of the broom tree. Anybody got a broom tree growing at your house? Well, if you do, you have a strange tree, because this tree here, man, listen, it was used for firewood, and it was a long burning wood, and it was the hottest coals you could imagine. However, the purpose of that was, he was saying to the people that were lying and deceiving, he says, you know what? Justice from God is coming. And I just turn it over to the Lord, so you better watch out. He says, woe is me, for I dwell, or that I dwell in Meshech, and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And that word means darkness, okay? He says, my soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace, for I am for peace. But when I speak, they are of war. You know, all of us are on our way home. Some of us are young, some of us are old, and we have all lived through different seasons of the, we'll say, for America that we live in. In my lifetime, there have been many, many wars. There's been the Korean War, there's been the Gulf War, there's been the Vietnam, of course, the war in Iraq, and then the war in Afghanistan. And you know what? There's going to be wars in the next generation if Jesus tarries. Amen? Amen? We know that. And so with all that being said, we can say along with this person, we're on our way home, he's on his way up to Jerusalem, we can say, woe is me, for I can assure you that we live in the same kind of environment that he lived in. We live in a world that cannot give peace, that'll never be able to give peace. The Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. And so we live in a world that says all the time, all the leaders, I want peace, but while they say they want peace, they're preparing for war. And what I love about the psalmist, if you'll notice here, he says in verse 7, I am, and see that word for? That word is in italics in your Bible, correct? So it was added by the translators. So really, it could read this way because they added it. It reads, I am peace. In other words, I'm in peace at my heart, and I have peace with God, and I'm not worried about anything. Like Jesus said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, let your heart be not troubled. Psalm 121, another song of the ascents. Now, they're going up to Jerusalem, remember, and they're singing as they travel. So maybe right now, as they're traveling, this particular family, maybe they're starting to see the hills of Zion way off in the distance. And he says, oh, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Do you need help? Where do you go when you need help? Who do you look for when you need help? As you've heard me probably teach Psalm 121, our help doesn't come from the hills. Amen? You can look in the hills all you want. You're not going to find any help. But if you look to the maker of the hills, amen, you're going to get all the help that you need. And we need right tonight in the world that we live in, if there's ever been a moment for us to keep our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, it is tonight that we need to do that. He says, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. Psalm 25:15 says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. And we've been learning from Colossians, remember what was it, 3:1, it says that, you know, we are to seek those things which are above where Christ is. He is seated at the right hand of God. All power, all authority, heaven and earth belong to our Savior. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, as we go through this life, this journey that we're on right now, on our way to our homeland, you know, God made everything. He is a creator. He's a sustainer. All things were created for him and are sustained through him. I think he can handle any problem that we have tonight, don't you? All we have to do is trust in him. And you know what? We know that God is truly our only source of help. We know what the world doesn't know. And you know what that is? Let me read it to you from Psalm 82:5. Talking about the lost world. They do not know. They don't understand. They walk in darkness. Listen carefully. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Why would we ever look to the world for help? Amen? Every foundation is unstable. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can we do? I'll tell you what we can do. We can look to God. Amen? He says, oh, look what he'll not do. He'll not allow your foot to be moved or to slip. And he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. In other words, God's on call 24/7. He watches over us. He watches over Israel. We really don't have anything to worry about. If God never sleeps, we should not worry about it. Amen? If he's going to stay awake all night, why should I? You know? No, not at all. He says, the Lord is your keeper or your divine protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And if that is the case, that means he is with you right now. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And the Lord shall preserve or keep you from evil. He shall keep or preserve your soul. Did you see that? Did I skip that part? The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Sun and moon. That means any kind of threat, any kind of danger in the daytime or in the nighttime, God says, I'll be there with you. Amen? We worry about things we shouldn't be worried about. No, he says, I'll preserve you from all evil. Our life right now is preserved from that. I'm not saying we won't experience it, but I do know this, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen? And I thank God for that tonight. And he's watching over us. And the Lord shall preserve or keep your going out, your coming in, from this forth, and look how long, even forevermore. Now there they are, they're going toward Jerusalem. They're on their way, really. That's their home. Okay? We're on our way home. And you know what they're doing there? They see the mountains. They're nearing Mount Zion, if you will. And they can lay their head down tonight and they can sleep securely because tomorrow they're going to arrive at Jerusalem. Psalm 122. Let's look at this Psalm of David. It says, and I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So they have arrived. The word glad there in Hebrew means great delight or great laughter. It's a verb. Question, are you glad when Sunday rolls around? Not for the Cowboys. For us to be together. I mean, are you glad that we're here together tonight? Is it a delight to you or is it just, oh, God, Bill, come on. No, loved one, listen, I'm glad. Aren't you just glad to be able to hear the Word of God? We're in an air-conditioned building. You know what I'm saying? You know we're not begging for money. Amen? If that doesn't make you glad, you need to go home. No, he says, our feet have been standing within your gate. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together or knit together as one. And where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. And why do they go up? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. They do it three times a year. Remember Pentecost and Passover, tabernacles. Oh, for thrones are set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. He says, oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Is there peace tonight in Israel? No. Was there peace then? No. Is there going to be peace in our lifetime? No. There'll be no peace in Jerusalem. There'll be no peace in Israel until the Prince of Peace returns at the second coming. Amen? Oh, now, a false peace is coming with the Antichrist when the church is removed from this earth. But it's a false peace. It's a false security, that covenant that he's going to make with Israel, the Antichrist. Now, but with all that being said, Israel has a future. You know that. I know that. But right now, it says in Zechariah, it tells us in Zechariah 12:2, God says, behold, I make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. And when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, it shall happen in that day, meaning the day of the Lord, the great tribulation period, the day of God's wrath, that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples. And who would heave it away will surely, God says, be cut into pieces, though all the nations of the earth, did you hear that? All the nations of the earth are against it. Now let's look at another song of ascent, Psalm 123. He says, unto you I lift up my eyes. Remember now, they're singing this as they travel to Jerusalem. He says, O you who dwell in the heavens. So there they are, they're in Jerusalem, and they've come to worship at the temple, and because they know that is the place to approach God. But did you notice that even though the temple, you know, was the dwelling place of God, did they say that? No, they said, O you who dwell in the heavens. See, they know where God dwells. The earth is his footstool, heaven is his throne. Amen. What kind of house can you build to house the Lord? You can't do that. He says, oh, behold, the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters as the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes, look who they look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy on us. The children of Israel, they look to the Lord, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we look unto him, as we behold him as in a mirror with unveiled faces, something happens, that we are being transformed, amen? From the inside out, we're being transformed into the very same image of Christ. In other words, we are going from glory to glory. And the agent is the Holy Spirit of God. You see, until we get home, we're going to go from glory to glory to glory if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Amen? And so we're changing all the way through. We're becoming more like Christ the older that we get in the Lord. And he says here, oh, have mercy on us. Our Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt, and our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorn of those who are at ease with the contempt of the proud. So they were suffering for their faith, and you know what? Through this lifetime, on our way home, are we going to be persecuted? Are we going to be scorned for our faith? Are we going to be made fun of? I got an email today, someone mocking me, and you know why? Because of the horrible murders that took place in Fort Worth. Remember, who's this guy who, whatever he was, I didn't even want to read it, knew the Bible, but he sacrificed those people that they found. You remember? And he says, look at your God. And I said, I didn't even want to answer that. You know, and I wanted to say, you better look, son, because you're looking at the devil who did that. God doesn't do that. Yet the world is crazy, brother. Do you understand? The world is crazy. And they hate God. Not all the world, but they hate God some so much that they'll do anything to make God look small when God is the one who loves them. Amen? Oh, listen. We're on our way home. They're on their way to Jerusalem. The song of ascents is going up, loved one. And you know what? One day we're going to go up too. Amen. And it's going to be great. He says, oh, listen, look at the next one. He says, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, and he repeats it. Put your name there too. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, oh, when men rose up against us, when they would have swallowed us alive, when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overflowed or overwhelmed us. That's speaking of the Red Sea. And the stream would have gone over our soul or swept over us, speaking of the Jordan. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. What did they just do? They are on their way to Jerusalem. We're on our way home. And they looked back at their history and they said, man, you know what? If it hadn't been for the Lord, we would have not made it. You know, but the fact of the matter is, we made it because the Lord was on their side. Loved one, you can look back right now. I can look back right this minute and I can say, you know why I made it? You know why I made it through all the distress or this or that mountain or that valley or that whatever it might have been in my life? I did it because the Lord was on my side. Man, listen, God is on my side. No. Do you get that? I mean, the Lord is on your side tonight. And as we're making our way home, he will continue to be on your side. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I always like to add and say, who in their right mind could be against us? Amen? If God be for us, and God is for us tonight. God is for you. There are people, listen, that are not for you. You might have family members that are not for you. You might have people in the workplace that are not for you. But don't ever forget, God is on your side and God is for you. How can you worry about anything? Amen. He is on our side. He's on Calvary Chapel's side tonight. Praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord. Remember what it says now, thanks be unto God our Father, who always leads us in triumph or victory in Christ Jesus. Man, listen, thank God for that. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen? We have overcome this world because we're in the one who's overcome it. Oh, I thank God. Listen, I could stop right there and we could have communion. He's on my side. You could go to bed tonight, you can close your eyes, and no matter what you're facing, you say, hey, well, the Lord's on my side. He's always going to be on your side. Man, blessed be the Lord, amen to that, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird, like a little tiny old sparrow, okay? Escaped from the snare of the fowlers. You know what a fowler is? It's a bird catcher. The snare is broken. Hey, we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen to me. Our help has always been in the Lord. And our help will, as we journey home, as we go through this life, you know, from no matter what decade you're living in, you're the teens, the 20s, the 30s, wherever you are in your life, I'm telling you, He is right there with you. He'll always be there with you. And the trap of the enemy, the same trap that was trying to trap them, the trap has been broken. And you know who sets those traps? The devil. Amen? But the devil, yes, he exists. But remember, as we have already learned many, many times here, he exists. He's real, but he exists defeated. And so do his demons. Amen. That the trap has been opened. You can run. You don't have to get trapped. No, not at all. The Lord is not only with you; he's for you. He is on your side. Psalm 125, another song of the ascents. This has been called a song of security. Those who trust in the Lord are like, watch this, Mount Zion. Those who trust, the object of their faith, those who trust in the Lord are like a mountain. And he calls that mountain Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides for how long? Now listen to me. If you truly trust the Lord, Nahum says this, the Lord knows who trusts him, okay? He knows if you trust him or not. But it says right there, those that trust the Lord. And if you do, you are just like Mount Zion that endures forever. In other words, you're not going to be moved. You may think you're going to be moved. There's going to be things that come into your life that try to kick you off course or get you out of the race. But I'm telling you, you're not going to be moved. You know why? Because you're secure. You trust in the Lord. Listen, we are an unshakable people. And we belong to an unshakable kingdom. Amen. He says, oh, as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Remember, they're going up now. He says, oh, as they surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. So just as the Lord God surrounded Jerusalem, he now surrounds you. Can you believe that? I mean, that you are surrounded by the Lord right now? The Bible says that the Lord is our rear guard. Amen? Think about that, friend. I mean, we're surrounded by his power. We're surrounded by his love. We're surrounded by his goodness. The Bible says that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. The Bible tells us that we are engraved on the palm of his hand. Listen, we are surrounded by the Lord. The psalmist has said this in Psalm 32:7, you surround me with songs of deliverance. And yes, you do. He says, oh, for the scepter, or literally the rod of wickedness, it shall not rest or continue on the land allotted to the righteous. And here's the reason why. Lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity, in other words, to sin. He says, oh, do good, O Lord, to those who are to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Jerusalem. Now let's look at Psalm 126. All these little short psalms, these songs are the songs of the ascent, if you will. And this is a song of joy. And it comes from the time when the children of Israel were restored after the Babylonian captivity, when they came back home, the exiles returned. So it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. In other words, it was just too good to be true. Can you imagine being in captivity in a foreign land for 70 years in Babylon? And then you return to your homeland? And that's why they were saying, man, this was so incredible. It was like a dream to come home. And then it says, then when we were home, look what happened. It says, our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, oh, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now, we know that only a small percentage, remember, returned to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity, okay? Now, but the remnant that returned, those who did return, it was a time of great joy after a time of horrible, great sadness. Look at the next verse. He says, those who sow in tears, and boy, they did in Babylon, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's a promise by God, loved one. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing in that harvest. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We are all on a journey, just like they were here. We're on a journey to our homeland. We're on our way home, loved one. And listen to me. You know it, and I know it, that during this process of leaving this place and going home, we're going to shed many tears. We're going to have great times, but we're also going to have hard times, aren't we? Yes. Yeah, you know, we're not wearing rose-colored glasses, loved one. That was an expression back in the 70s. You probably don't know what I meant. But anyway, you know, your tears, do you know that they're precious to the Lord? Remember, the Bible says that God has a bottle for your tears. Every tear you've ever cried, He even has a book of remembrance. He writes why you cried and what every tear means. But I'll tell you, in this word, it says the tears of today will grow into the rejoicing for tomorrow. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory which is going to be revealed in us. Listen, I say it all the time in counseling or over the counseling on the phone, Zoom counseling, they're just every day. Life is not fair. Do you think life is fair? God, did Jesus ever tell us that life was going to be fair? No, life is not fair at all. Listen, we're going to face much as we travel through this life to our home. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, we're going to enter the land where there's not a tear to be shed. There's no more tears there. No more sorrow there. No more pain. There's no more death. They're all gone. Amen? And that's our future, loved one. And then in Psalm 127, this was by Solomon, by the way, King David's son. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, human guards, human watching are useless. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Did you notice that Solomon used the word vain three times in our text? In other words, that word means everything is vain, everything is empty, everything is useless unless the Lord is in it. Amen? Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. And so it's all vain, all of it. Even if you have a completely, my home is finally built. My city is finally guarded. Well, if God's not guarding it and God's not in your home, it is vanity. Amen? Now, he says, you can rest in all this labor. Did you notice what he said there? He said the house, the city, and now he moves to the family. Watch this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So children, it says they're a gift from God. They come from the Lord. He says the womb, he says the fruit of the womb is a reward from God. So what does that tell you, parents? It tells you this. Children, they're not our achievement. Have you ever looked at it like that? They're not our achievement. Look at it again. Children are a gift from God. They're God's gift. They're God's reward. And you know what happens? You know, you enter into, say, the 20s in your life. And the 20s, when you enter into the 20s, it's a beginning of first-time things. Have you ever noticed that? First-time things. First-time things that you didn't do in the teens. And all of a sudden, you experience all these different things. You maybe marriage, you follow what I'm saying. Then you have children. Everything is all, it's the 20s. Ooh, I'm glad I'm not in my 20s. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't mind the 30s. That's where I still am. So, no, but listen, you know, we're on our journey, man. That's a journey to our homeland all the years of our life. He says, oh, look at those children. They're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man. Happy's in the Bible, okay? Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. You know, quiver, like where you put your arrows. He says, they will not be ashamed, or shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gate. So he says, you know what? The kids of your youth, man, he says, they're like warriors, you know? They're like arrows and so forth. He says, what is he saying? Raise your children to be defenders of the faith. Amen? Raise them up that way. In other words, unshakable parents who know the Lord thy God, what do? They prepare unshakable children, and that's what's needed today. Psalm 128, another song of the ascents. Now, this focuses on the family that fears the Lord, so it's a family psalm. Blessed, oh how happy, how fortunate, that's what that word means, is everyone who what? Who fears the Lord. And what else? Who walks in his ways. Okay, if you are looking, if you're young, and you are just getting married, you want a family plan on how to build your family? There it is right there. You know, if you're searching for one, there it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? The fear of the Lord. That's the very starting point. If you haven't started there in your home, you haven't started at all, loved one. That's the starting point. And that's how it leads to your walk where it says, who walks in his ways, not your ways. So when you fear the Lord, you obey the Lord, your family is going to be a happy place, your home. And when you eat, meaning the fruit of your labor of your hands, you're going to be happy and it'll be well with you. And your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. And your children like olive plants all around your table, because you got to feed every one of them. There is something special about, I don't think families do it too much anymore, but where the whole family's around the table, you know what I mean? Where you have dinner, everybody is there. It's not like you got TV trays and watching the news or something, you know? It's where we're all together. There's something, you know, I love that time, personally. That's a favorite time for me. And this verse, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to have 10 kids. They're all, you know, or 5 kids. It doesn't mean you're going to marry. Some people don't marry. But it does mean this in verse 4. Behold, thus the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Another song of ascent, Psalm 129. Now watch what they say here. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Now, they're going up to Jerusalem. They're going up to worship the Lord at one of the feasts, okay? And so what they're doing is they go up, they're looking back on their history and the pain and the suffering of their forefathers. They said, oh, yeah, many a time they afflicted me from my youth, and yet they have not prevailed against me. And may I say that they will never prevail against Israel? Amen. The enemies of Israel, because God is for them. Oh, and look what they did. The plowers plowed my back, and they made their furrows long. In other words, that's deep torture, loved one. That's a vivid picture right there of personal suffering, meaning they were treated like dirt. And so the thing is, they plowed. Yeah, they did. But this plowing that took place was preparation for Israel's harvest. And Israel's persecutions, they're going to continue, but only until the second coming of Christ. He says, oh, but the Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. And let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. And let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. In other words, just let them wither and die. He says, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he binds the sheaves in his arms, and neither let those who pass by say to them, in other words, the ones who hate Israel, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Psalm 130, which now tonight prepares us for our communion service. It's a great, wonderful psalm. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Now listen. When you look at that word, out of the depths, it means the very lowest place of that individual's life. In other words, this guy has hit rock bottom, if you will. And he's not crying out to God to defend him from his enemies. He is crying out to God because of the greatest sin that every person faces, and that is sin. He says, oh Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, my sins, my transgressions, oh Lord, who could stand? We know the answer to that, don't we? No one could stand. Not any person could ever stand. We're helpless just think if God gave us what we really deserve. Amen? No. The word mark there, look at it again. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, our sins. The word mark means to keep score or to record them or hold accountable. Aren't you glad that we, under the new covenant, God, he doesn't count our sins. He blots out our sins. Amen? And if we've sinned, we can run to the Lord, and he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all, any, no matter what it is, any unrighteousness, loved one. No, listen, what has God done with our sins? Boy, verse 4. I love that as the ushers get ready to start preparing to hand out communion tonight. It says, but there is forgiveness with you. Let me read that again. You see that word, but? That's a great word. Did you know that? It says, here it comes. Oh, man, but there's something happening. There's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. That's called the unsearchable, unbelievable grace of the living God. Amen? He is so ready to forgive. And I know that there are believers that they feel that God is not going to forgive me. Did you know that's a lie? Oh, listen, God is so ready to forgive everyone, yet there's a lot of people that don't want to be forgiven. Jesus said in John 5:40, I believe it is, he said, for you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. Listen, God not only forgives our sin. Remember in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, it's just as if we had never sinned because we're in Christ. Amen. But God also has forgiven us of our sins and forgotten our sin, that divine forgetfulness, okay? It says in Hebrews 10:17, God promises, he said, their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Remember what God has done with our sins as we prepare our hearts tonight to celebrate the Lord's table, the cup, and the bread. What has God done with our sins? The Bible says they are as far as the east is from the west. Amen? That's how far our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions are tonight. Man, they are out of sight and they are removed. Micah says that they put them in the sea of forgetfulness and leave them there. Don't drag them back up. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Jesus we have redemption. He's purchased us. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And oh, this last part tonight, in verse 5, he says, I wait for the Lord, and my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. Remember what that word hope means? It doesn't mean I hope so. That is that sure, certain expectation of what God has promised he will do. He says, oh, and in his word do I hope, and my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. And the reason, listen, for with the Lord there is mercy. In other words, there's full pardon. He says, and with him abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. It says, for those who wait there for the Lord. You know, waiting, as you've heard me say probably a million times, waiting on God is the posture of faith in good times or bad times. All of us are on a journey tonight. All of us are on a journey to our home. We're all running the race of faith. And we find ourselves, and I know I do, many times I'm in God's waiting room. I'm waiting, Lord, for this prayer to be answered, or the direction that I need, or the wisdom that you said you promised that you would give me. I'm always waiting. And that's why the psalmist said, look at it. He says, yeah, I'm waiting, yeah. He says, I'm waiting more than those who watch for the morning. Yeah, I'm waiting more. Twice he said that. Why did he say that? He's saying, listen, I know God. I know that you're working. I know that you're working while I'm waiting. And I know that the days are passing. And he's saying, listen, I'm just watching for the night to leave for when the morning comes. That means I'm waiting and watching for your answer from heaven. You know, there's nothing greater knowing that God, how much he loves us tonight. And you know what we're doing tonight? We're waiting on so many things, but I tell you what we should be waiting on more than any other thing. We are eagerly waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting on what we call the rapture, the catching away of the church, the bride of Christ, and that is us. And why are we waiting on that? Because we want to go home. Do you see? We're on our way home. No matter where we are, no matter how old you are, if you are a believer, we're all on our way home tonight. And I'm waiting on that day, like Jesus said in John 14:1, he said, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he says, oh, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Jesus is coming again. He says, I'll come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One day, it could be tonight. It could be when we're driving our car on the freeway. It could be when some of you might be playing tennis. It could be when some of you are playing golf. It could be when you're trying to look good and you don't. Do you understand it? You know? And in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, and suddenly, I mean in an eye, boom. And you know what happens? We're going to step out of time and we're going home. we're going into everlasting eternity, to a perfect home. But until then, we're just simply on our way home. And one day we're all going to be there, all together. Isn't God good? Tonight, as our hearts are prepared, let me turn to our text, and we'll celebrate communion tonight. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, he said, about the bread, he says, listen, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. I'm glad, listen to me, can we celebrate tonight that we don't have to be broken? We don't have to be a broken people. Jesus was broken for us, amen? He took whatever brokenness that we may have in this life, he's paid for it. Let's don't be a broken people. He put us back together, amen? We're in his body now. He says, oh, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And then he tells us, you know the scripture, he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. You remember me when you partake of the bread, which represents his body. And he says, and in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. In other words, he sealed the new covenant in his blood. This do as often as you drink it. It doesn't tell us how often to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We can celebrate it every day if we wanted to. But often as you do, do so in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we look back and we say, oh Lord, yes, your body was broken for us. You died on the cross for us. You took every bit of our sin. It is finished. It is completely finished. There's no more sacrifice for sin, no more offering for sin. It is finished. We have obtained eternal redemption in Christ Jesus. We have been purchased forever. Think about that. He says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I don't want that. How can we do that in an unworthy manner? You know how you do that? If that is when you don't, by faith, believe all that Jesus has done for us. Our redemption is complete. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. If you don't believe that and you partake of the cup, you're doing it in an unworthy manner. And God is just going, listen, don't do that. You know, you have to look, when you hold that cup, you hold that bread, look at the full worth of what Jesus has done for you and me. Amen? Yes. He says, so let a man, woman, let us all, whoever eats, drinks this cup, he says, let a man examine himself. So we look back, we look ahead, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then we look within. And that's a good place to look within our hearts. Amen? And to make sure there's nothing there, there's not any ought. And you know what's amazing is that always on communion day, there's always somebody that's trying to make me mad. No, it's true. Emails, phone call. And so I have to guard myself. I don't want to partake of this and say, I'd like to beat that person. Amen? I don't want to have any ought in my heart against any person. You know, we've all failed in this life. Jesus hasn't. And I belong to him. You belong to him. Remember that we're all equal in Christ. We've been studying that great book, Colossians. Oh, thank God. We're the melting pot of the Lord. Every color. I mean, every race of people. Oh, and we're all one together in Christ Jesus. He says, I broke my body for you because I love you. You belong to me. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, we hold this bread representing the body that was broken for us on the cross, oh God. We look back and we remember all that you've done for us, how you took our punishment. You took our sin. You took our guilt and our shame. You tasted our death so we would never have to taste it. And you gave unto us your life, eternal life. And you wrote our names in the Lamb's book of life, and it can't ever be erased. So, Lord, tonight, we as the family, your family, the new humanity, the new man, we partake together of the bread of life. Let us partake in Jesus' name. And as we do this in remembrance of you, Jesus. As we partake of the cup together as the family of God, let's give the blood of Jesus its full worth. Amen. I mean, it's full worth. Jesus paid the sin debt of the world. It's finished, Jesus said. So, Father, tonight, here we are. And what we do in remembrance of you. And we know that without the shedding of blood, O Lord, there's no forgiveness of sin. But you did shed your blood for us. Thank you. We do, O Lord, we thank you tonight. We are your children, indeed the sheep of your pasture, on our way home. So tonight, what we do in remembrance of our Savior. Let us partake of the cup together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we praise you tonight. We give you honor tonight. We give you glory tonight. Lord God, we look unto you and we look to no other. Oh, Lord, revive us again, oh God. Let our hearts be knitted together so tightly, so fervently, Lord. Oh, God, in this church called Calvary. And Lord, one more time, we pray for those as we close our service tonight, Lord, those that are so sick with COVID. And Lord, over those that have died, we pray for their families, the pain that they're in right now, Lord. I can't imagine this one family, Lord, now they've lost their only two sons to COVID. We lift them up. Oh God, comfort their hearts tonight, for they are grieving. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, I know that you're reaching out to everyone we pray for again. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? I pray you have a wonderful week, that you walk in his strength, in his love, in his peace, his joy. And if you have a need tonight, you need someone to pray for you tonight, Jesse's going to close us out with song. And after that, you just please come to the altar. And if you would, be kind enough to wear a mask, and there'll be people here to pray for your every need. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you now in Jesus' name.